Shouldn't take that long today.
Okay. So section three, we're looking at social development in infants and children. So we're looking at ways in which infants and children learn to relate to each other. That's what we mean by social development, how they're relating to each other and others around them, their parents, kind of all of the above. And what studies find is that this information, what they find is that the developmental stages that people go through are fairly sequential, fairly universal. So from, you know, being an infant to, you know, the later years of childhood, you're typically going to follow a pretty standard sequence. The example that I put up here, again, you can get some variation, but there is a fairly standard sequence. For example, starting off when an infant is very young, it's very typical to cling to the mom. Not too much longer down the road, that child is going to start kind of wandering off and crawling, and then eventually kind of exploring with strangers and kind of down the road. But it takes a lot of years for kids to go through these different stages. Some of the factors that we find that affect social development in children and in infants are attachment, which we're going to get to, and we're going to explain a little bit more what we mean by that in a second. Parenting styles, fairly straightforward. I'm sure you've all experienced one or two of the styles that we're going to talk about when it comes to parenting styles later on. Child care, whether that child spent a lot of time at home in constant contact with the primary caregivers, or whether the child spends more time kind of out on either, you know, going to daycare or, you know, spending time with other kids. Child abuse and neglect would obviously have an effect, and self-esteem. Okay, so these are all going to be factors, kind of four or five primary factors that are going to affect social development. First of all, looking at attachment, what we're talking about with attachment is looking at emotional ties that form between different people. For an infant, it's something that's very important because infants are dependent. Okay. Therefore, that feeling, kind of that biological feeling that an infant has of being attached to a primary caregiver has kind of an evolutionary basis. It's something that is going to help them survive. To have that child recognize that they need their parent is important because they cannot early on in life fend for themselves. Unlike a lot of animals, it takes us a long time to get to the point where we're confident to be able to, you know, defend ourselves and kind of be out on our own. You know, how long does it take a horse to be pretty much self-sufficient? Not very long, right? Maybe a year, something like that. You know, how long does it take people? Well, quite a bit longer than a year, right? And as a one-year-old, you're probably not going out on your own and getting a job and paying rent. I'm sorry. You were hunting bears at one?
With a spear.
It's also a pretty rough life. Okay.
Looking at, well, you know, if you were just starting to walk at one, you would be the typical U.S. infant, right? Okay. Now, if you were in Uganda, you would have been walking for 2 months already. But that's another story for another day. Or for last Wednesday. Looking at the development of attachment, you know, how it comes about when it comes about for the most part. A psychologist named Ainsworth looked at attachments in infants around the world. He found that infants initially prefer being held by anyone over being alone. So early on, an infant is going to be drawn to human contact. They don't want to be alone. It doesn't necessarily have to be a parent, but an infant is going to feel more secure if they are in contact with someone. Bless you. By about 4 months, infants develop attachment to the mother specifically, and that grows stronger between 4 to 6 to 7 months. So it's not something that is innate right off the bat. It takes a little bit of time and probably some cognitive development for infants to recognize their mother as their mother, and to form that type of kind of emotional attachment to the mother. Doesn't happen right away. Find by 8 months, some infants develop fear of strangers, or something that we call stranger anxiety. Okay. When do you learn the term stranger danger? It's probably not so kindergarten, right? But very early on, about 8 months, biologically, that there starts to develop a fear of strangers, a fear of people kind of other than the primary caregivers. Okay. Now that goes away with more exposure and more kind of confidence and competence around others. But at about 8 months, that starts to come about. At about the same age, about 8 months, infants develop separation anxiety, where they're going to show distress when mom leaves. Again, very typical, pretty universal. At about 8 months, to cry, to be uncomfortable when mom goes away. This attachment to the primary caregiver is due to primarily something we're going to call contact comfort, and also imprinting. So first we're going to look at contact comfort. This comes out of a study by Harry Harlow, a study that he did with monkeys, where he found that infant monkeys chose a cloth monkey that provided them no food over a wire monkey that provided them food or a bottle. So that the infant monkeys had the choice of two different figures. One was just kind of a scaly wire figurine of a mama monkey that had a bottle, so therefore they could go up to it. They could maybe recognize it as mom, and they could go up to it and they could get food out of the bottle. The other one was a cloth monkey, had kind of a chamois cloth covering, but provided no food. And what Harlow found, let me get rid of this update sign here. That's probably going to happen to me a couple of times. I need to restart my computer. Okay. There's a picture on page 235 in your text of the experiment, what they're finding. So what he finds is, again, there's a preference that goes beyond a need for food, but that in actuality, that contact comfort, that need to have contact with the primary caregiver, actually goes beyond the need for food. And so contact comfort, we're going to call an instinctual need to touch and be touched by something soft, such as skin or fur. And again, this is an animal experiment, using monkeys. So there's some similarity. Whether or not it's a perfect correlation to babies, we don't know, but we can draw some information from it. Kind of down the road, extrapolating this out a little bit more, Harry Harlow went a little bit farther, and he found that the infant monkeys with the cloth mothers had a greater sense of security, which allowed them to explore new toys that were placed in the cage, whereas the monkeys with the wire mothers seem to be fearful of new toys placed in their environment. So they went a little bit farther down the road and they found what they thought were the effects, were that if that little infant monkey was spending a lot of time with something that didn't provide contact comfort, that wire mother, they could be fed, but it seemed like their personality didn't change a little bit. They didn't seem to kind of gain self-esteem. They were fearful. They were nervous when something new was placed in their environment. Whereas on the other side, the ones that were spending time with the chamois cloth monkey moms were growing more self-confidence and were more confident when something new was placed in their environment. They would go play with the toy and be more comfortable. Okay. So that's contact comfort. They also looked at something called imprinting. Imprinting is when animals form immediate attachment shortly after birth. So specifically attaching to the first moving objects seen. And again, there's a picture in your book of this, which I thought was pretty cool. Conrad Lorenz, kind of an older man, white hair, right? He's present at the birth of a bunch of little goslings. The gosling's kind of associated with him as a caregiver or a parent, and would follow him around later on in life, kind of because of that initial imprinting, initial association with him very early on in life. That said, we find children are a little bit different, right? Because we just went over how it seems to take a little while, whether it's about 4 months or so, before a child will form a really strong attachment to the mother. So it seems to be a little bit different between children and animals, but that doesn't mean that we still can't get some information, and it still might not be a similar process that's going on here. Talking a little bit about the effects of parenting very early on in life on a child, your book looks at secure versus insecure attachment. In the case of a child having a secure attachment, the primary caregivers are going to be affectionate and reliable. Therefore, the infants are going to form a secure or positive and comfortable attachment with that parent. They're going to, very early on in life, first months or so, they're going to cry. They're going to get that separation anxiety. They're going to cry when the parent leaves. They're going to be happy upon the parent's return. Okay. Insecure attachment is when you have primary caregivers that are unreliable, unresponsive to the child, to the infant. And the effect of that is typically that infants don't seem to mind too much when the caregiver leaves. They don't seek contact that much when the caregiver is there or returns. And they're often going to cry or be uncomfortable, be stressed when they're picked up. Extrapolating that out again, secure infants often lead to secure children that seem to be more well adapted than those with insecure attachment, and often more successful down the road. You kind of see why. It just seems that they have a more well-rounded sense of self-esteem and a more comfortable, kind of secure feeling about themselves going out into the world. So again, why do we look at any of this? We look at it because we're trying to derive some of the kind of early impacts that lead to how we turn out later on in life. And I'm going to have you think about that a little bit when we get to our activity today. You're going to write creatively about how your world might be different, how you might be different if you were raised in a very different way early on in life. Not going to cover all the different parenting styles that your textbook does, but I'm going to, they break it down into four different categories based on, are you very laissez-faire, or are you very strict, are you warm, or are you cold? I'm going to look at just a couple of combinations of those two that form kind of two base parenting styles that are kind of have very different results. Authoritative parents, they get their own category, so obviously this is something that psychologists see as important. Authoritative parents are going to combine warmth with positive strictness. And as far as those terms, they're fairly common sense. Warmth is, warmth of relationship, warmth of emotion between the parents and the children. And positive strictness is, yes, going to be order, going to be rules, but it's not going to be arbitrary. It's not going to be just kind of random rules. And yes, don't snicker. I would see the gum thing is not being arbitrary at all, and there's a very strong reason for that. And what they find when they study this is that children of authoritative parents are often pretty independent and achievement-oriented later on in life. On the flip side, authoritarian parents tend to go about creating obedience for its own sake. They expect children to follow rules without question, and they often have cold or rejecting personalities. You can probably kind of envision what that would be like. More arbitrary rule, not a whole lot of warmth there, not a whole lot of caring and emotion towards that child. And again, when they extrapolate that out, they find that children are often resistant to or dependent on others. and they tend to be less friendly, less spontaneous. Again, I think you could probably back all those up to the self-esteem doesn't seem to develop in the same way, the confidence and sense of independence doesn't develop in the same way. It leads to either a kind of neediness or just not a very well-adapted personality. Effects of childcare. Now this is just care just by anybody besides a parent. So could be a friend's parents or could be daycare. What the studies find is that children that are accustomed to childcare, they suffer less separation anxiety from parents. They're still bonded. Looking at some of the different positive effects of childcare, they find that children that have more experience with childcare tend to be more social, more independent, more self-confident. On the flip side, the childcare children also tend to be, they have some negative effects as well. They can be a little bit more aggressive and less cooperative. And, the hypothesis with the more aggressive attribute is perhaps that with a little bit less attention, they have to compete with other children more, whereas if you're staying at home with mom and dad, you're not competing for attention as much, therefore maybe you don't need to be as aggressive. Okay. So you get some positives, you get some negatives. I think overall most people would say that exposing kids to more kids at an early age is probably a good thing, develop social skills. But there can be some negatives and downsides with it as well. I was somebody that very early on in life did not go to childcare until I was about 4. And I would say that, I don't blame my parents for that at all, but I know that kindergarten for me was kind of a stressful experience. Kind of going from 0 to 60, you go from being at home a lot, and not only at home, I lived about 12 miles outside of town, in a very kind of serene and quiet environment. And I did a little bit with daycare. And then all of a sudden, you go to kindergarten for the first day and there's 40 kids running around. I just remember before even going in the front doors, kids were outside and they were probably, they were playing football or hopscotch or whatever, everybody's screaming and running around. There's about 40 kids, and that was shocking and not in a good way for me. So it took me quite a while to kind of catch up to being probably socially comfortable, whereas a lot of those kids had been daycare kids. And they already knew each other, they were very comfortable with each other, so. Again, there's positives and negatives, but I think down the road for my kids, I would probably tend towards a little bit more contact with other kids early on to start to build some of that social competence. Self-esteem, just going to cover that a little bit. Obviously, you hear this a lot. It's a value or worth of people that they attach to themselves. And as I've talked about a little bit before, it does seem like we try to preserve our own self-esteem as we go through life. It seems to be something that's pretty important. Get rid of this guy again. Some of the different influences of self-esteem that we find, or different influences on self-esteem, we see that the way that parents react to their children can have an influence. A warm but structured approach is typically best. That's what studies find. And kind of along that line, they come up with a category called unconditional positive regard, where parents love and accept their children no matter how they behave. And they see, psychologists see this as probably the preferable way of going about raising children. Kids of parents that practice unconditional positive regard typically develop high self-esteem. On the other side, those that offer conditional positive regard or parents that show love only when the child behaves in an acceptable fashion can have a lot of negative side effects. That child might feel good at times, they might get affection at times, but they might only feel good when they're meeting their parents' expectations. Okay. While it's not like they're not getting any positive regard at all, when it's conditional, that can create a lot of anxiety and a necessity of kind of being a people pleaser all the time, pleasing your parents all the time. and always seeking that approval to create the self-esteem instead of having that secure identity in oneself. So again, two very different approaches and some different results that can come out of that. Okay. All right, let's take our short break.